Mr. Watson! Oh, Mr. Watson! Yes, it's me. You're hearing my voice over the telephone. It works! All the years of research have paid off. The world will forever remember the name of Alexandria Graham Bell as the inventor of the telephone. So, anyway, what are you wearing? I know I saw you just an hour or so ago, and that you're just in the next room, but humor me. Oh, that's right. I remember that outfit now. So distinguished and scientist-like, but also like a very proper gentleman. So, this is what I'm wearing. I've got on a... Mr. Watson, it is very rude to interrupt someone when they are talking to you on the phone. At least I think it is. I guess there aren't any rules on this kind of thing yet, but it would be rude if we were talking face to face, so it follows it is rude on the phone as well. Well, yes, we could be talking directly if we wanted. But you are missing the point. This is exciting and new. This moment is historic. We've spent thousands of hours and thousands of dollars in inventing this telephone. Now is the chance to enjoy the fruits of our labor. Thank you. So, back to what I'm wearing. It is a jacket and skirt outfit, chartreuse in color, and... Mr. Watson, you've interrupted again. And yes, I know that's not what I was wearing earlier, but that was an hour ago, and this is a special occasion. Special occasions call for special outfits. Like this skirt, with a somewhat impractically long train, not at all good for the laboratory, but I like it more than the outfit I wore here this morning. And of course I had to change the shoes, too, even if you couldn't really tell under this skirt. They're practically scandalous in how they hug my feet and squeeze the toes together. The skirt and jacket themselves are so soft, although I don't really get the benefit, what with the bustle and corset under them. Whalebone in a corset really isn't all that comfortable. I swear that my next invention will be a... Another interruption, Mr. Watson? For shame! And I will have you know that this is a historical, highly scientific moment. While it might be improper under normal circumstances to describe what I'm wearing under my skirt and jacket, the fact that we are doing so over this new invention makes it perfectly acceptable. And maybe just a little sexy. Yes, sexy. You know, it's only a matter of time before someone uses our invention for naughty purposes. Do you think it hasn't before? There's a reason you only need one hand to use the telegraph. Don't tell me you haven't dashed some pretty young thing's dot from hundreds of miles away. And if you're a woman, then using the telegraph gives you such wonderful dexterity in your fingers for... other things. I spent many a lonely evening as a young girl composing extremely long messages in the privacy of my own bed. My parents must have assumed I was having nightmares from the sounds I was making. But enough about when I was a young, sexy girl. Now, I'm just a sexy girl, telling you what I'm wearing. Or, actually, what I'm not wearing, because I've taken the jacket and skirt off while I was talking to you. Which was not easy, not at all. I've got this damned bustle off, too, and I'm just working on the corset, and... Why shouldn't I be undressing? You're not in the same room as me, Mr. Watson, so modesty is unnecessary. And the scholarly and historical nature of this event prompts the need to adhere to social norms. Also, don't you find it getting increasingly hot in this building? I did open a window earlier. No one can see in from the outside, but there is the most delightful breeze blowing in and moving cooler air over the increasingly larger amounts of bare skin I am showing. Because I fear I seem to continue shedding layers of clothing. Oh, I can assure you I'm not joking, Mr. Watson. Were you to walk into this room now for some reason, you would find me clad only in the sheerest of white silk stockings, tied up with pretty little pink bows at the top. Oh, and the shoes, which I felt compelled to keep on as well. With fashion as it is these days, you men don't get to see what the shortest of heels do to the shape of our legs. at least under normal circumstances. If you did have some interest in the matter, you could come in here and see what I'm talking about. Mr. Watson, I can assure you that this is all very proper. We are two esteemed colleagues, and we are at work, and we're in the midst of a groundbreaking discovery. Everything we do has the stamp of approval of thousands of years of the scientific method. You remember the scientific method, don't you, Mr. Watson? Basically, you develop a theory and then you test it. For example, I suspect that if I start practicing my Morse code skills on my personal telegraph machine, that it will feel good. Oh, and it appears I was correct. There you are. As you can see, Mr. Watson, none of my words were a lie. I am clad only in the stockings and shoes, and they do make my legs look so incredible at the moment. And I do have my fingers in the proverbial cookie jar. And there you are, still almost fully dressed, but your pants unzipped, and your telegraph pole is prodding in the most adorable manner. But it is somewhat dangerous to have that thing flailing about like so. There is so much precision equipment in this room. Think of the damage you could do. Oh no, no, no. I was not suggesting you put it away. I was merely offering you some place to safely store it for, say, the next few minutes. Some place snug and warm and no longer occupied by my fingers. Were you to put yourself in there, I think we could minimize the damage you could cause to our environment. But that's just a hypothesis. The scientific method demands that we put it to test. Give me your hand and pull me up from this chair. Then, if you wouldn't mind using those delicately strong hands of yours to lift me up and deposit me on the edge of this counter. It's sufficiently clear of equipment to allow us to conduct this little experiment. Now hurry, my dear Watson. Before that thing can break anything truly important here, well, other than me, of course, I need you to put it into me. Which starts with you moving it even closer to me. It's the most basic of mechanical connections known to mankind. A rod going into a depression of sorts, such as how ancient man may have worked stone or used to make a fire. But if you make this connection, it is our own bodies that will burn. Oh, so do it, Mr. Watson. Make the connection. Oh, Mr. Watson. Well, it's such a shame we needed to wait for this invention to find a proper excuse for you to make love to me. Oh, because it feels so good to have you inside me after all these years of working together. But I assure you, even this is still covered by the sanctity of spirit of science. It's not improper at all for us to be joined in such a manner, or for you to keep driving yourself into me. Therefore, it is completely acceptable for us to speak freely. To no longer mask our words in social niceties. I feel freer now to refer to your cock inside me. Inside my pussy. Of us being in the process of copulation. Fornication. Sex. Fucking. In a more and more weighted matter, the longer and harder we move together. Would it be unladylike and unprofessional to wrap my legs around you while we do this? No matter. I shall do it anyway. I can bring you even closer to me then and deeper into me. I can control your movements a little with my legs and now my arms clutching you desperately to me. My pussy is just as desperately strives to hold on to you. The telephone is still on, Mr. Watson. If someone were in that room, they could hear the animal sounds of our mating.
Oh, I wish I had a device to record those sounds. I've heard Miss Edison is working on such a device, so I shall have to speak to her about it. That is something for a future date. For now, we have more intimate concerns. The most intimate of which is the need to orgasm, to lose ourselves in the pleasure of each other's body. All in the name of scientific process. Oh, so please, please, Mr. Watson, let's make this experiment the rousing success it deserves to be. Oh, and let's celebrate with the most glorious of orgasms. Better than I have expected, Mr. Watson. It seems you are full of surprises, and now I'm full of your calm and a feeling of great scientific achievement. All right. Well, be a gentleman and help me down off this counter now. And put that thing away, dear Mr. Watson, before I accidentally fall on top of it again. Then you can help me with my clothes. Once some manner of normalcy has returned, we can properly document our experimental progress today. Well, no. There are certain aspects of it that won't go into the official notes. But I expect you to write up a proper and full accounting of the events of this afternoon for me to read later. I may even telegraph off your notes in my bed tonight. Or, if we brought this telephone back to my home and placed one end in my bedroom, perhaps we could continue our experiments tonight. All in the name of scientific discovery, of course. Then you could retire to the guest room, where the other phone would be, and just in case one of us needed the other for something later in the night. Our telephone is going to change the world forever, and the way the world has sex as well. I'm not sure which of those excites me more. Actually, I do. Never mind with collecting my clothes, Mr. Watson. It seems I need you again.